Joel and Jason are welcoming you this morning. Glad you're here and encourage you to get your Bible and turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6. In verse 11, the Apostle Paul, in writing to young Timothy, says, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." The key to Timothy's success as a Christian and as a gospel preacher would be three F's: flee, follow, and fight. I call those to our attention this morning. First of all, if we're going to be successful in our service as followers of the Lord, we must learn to flee. Paul said, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things." You might underscore the word flee in your Bible. These things that the young man was to flee, to shun, to avoid by flight, or to run away from, included the love of money and covetousness, which he addressed in the previous verses. He said in verse 6, "But godliness with contentment is great gain." You might underscore the word contentment. Covetousness is contrary to contentment. He says, "For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content." You might underscore the word content again. "But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." Notice he talks about in verse 9, "they that will be rich." He's not talking about those who are rich, but rather those that will be rich. That is, those who are making it their aim to be rich, those who are striving after riches. And in verse 10, he talks about the love of money. He's not talking about money. It's not that money is the root of all evil, but the love of money is the root of all evil. And then he says in verse 11, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things." That is, flee the desire to be rich, and flee the love of money, flee covetousness. In Luke chapter 12, the Lord warned about covetousness. He said in verse 15, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." Back in the book of Exodus in chapter 20, in the giving of the Ten Commandments, in verse 17, the Lord said, "Thou shalt not covet." And so flee covetousness and the love of money. There are other things that Timothy was admonished to flee as well. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 22, Paul said, "Flee also youthful lust." There are lusts or passions, desires that are peculiar to the young man. And Paul said, "Flee," that is, run away from, shun youthful lust. In addition, the Bible calls upon us to flee other things, like in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 18, when Paul said, "Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body." Also, in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 7, notice verse 2, "Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband." And so flee fornication. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 14, Paul said, "Flee from idolatry." And he identified covetousness as idolatry in Colossians chapter 3 and in verse 5. And so, if we're going to be successful in following the Lord, we have to flee. We have to run away from some things. Flee the love of money. Flee the desire to be rich. Flee youthful lust. Flee fornication. And flee idolatry. But as you're running away from, you're going in another direction, it's not enough to just flee these things, but we are to follow other things. We're to replace these negatives with some positives. There are some things that are to be pursued that we're to lay hold on. And so he says, "Follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness." Let's look at each of these. And he talks about things to follow. First of all, he says, "Follow righteousness." Also in 2 Timothy 2:22, and Paul said, "Flee youthful lust." He said, "Follow righteousness." In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, when Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and what? His righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you." These things are the things that they were worried about. As the Lord said, be not anxious. That is, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink or wherewithal that you shall be clothed. But the priority is to seek first the kingdom of God's righteousness. In Acts 10 and verse 35, when Peter preached to Cornelius and his household, he said, God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh, remember that next word, righteousness, is accepted with him. If I'm going to be accepted in the sight of God, I've got to follow after righteousness. In Romans 1 and verse 17, as Paul expressed that he was unashamed of the gospel, he said, not only is it the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek, but he said therein, that is in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. In 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16 and 17, when Paul talked about the Scriptures and the profitableness of the Scriptures, he said the Scriptures are profitable for instruction in righteousness. And so the Scriptures teach me what is right in the sight of God, how to be right and do right in His sight. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 24, Peter said that we are to live unto righteousness. And John talked about that in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 7. He said, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. And then in verse 10, in this the children of God are manifested, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. And so the Bible has a lot to say about righteousness. It's the idea of that which is right in the sight of God, and I'm to follow after righteousness. But also, the apostle said, follow after godliness. That is, to be godly, to be godlike. Godliness. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and in verses 7 and 8, Paul said, refuse profane and old wives' fables and exercise thyself unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. And then in chapter 6 and verse 6, he said, godliness with contentment is great gain. When Peter talked about the graces that are to be added to the faith, in the book of 2 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 6, he said, add godliness to your faith. And in 2 Peter chapter 3, when Peter talked about the coming day of the Lord and how that there would be scoffers who would poke fun at the idea of Christ's second coming, and they would think that the passage of time has rendered God's promise concerning Christ's coming null and void. He said, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He spoke of the day of the Lord coming as a thief in the night. And then he said, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? 2 Peter 3 and in verse 11. And so I'm to pursue godliness. I'm to be godlike, to be godly in my life. The third thing that Paul said follow after is faith. Follow after faith. And then the list of things to follow in 2 Timothy 2:22 is, he said, flee youthful lust. He said, follow after faith. In Romans 5 and 1, we're justified by faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, according to Romans 10 and in verse 17. Paul said that we walk by faith and not by sight, 2 Corinthians 5 and in verse 7. In 2 Corinthians 8 and 7, as Paul talked to the Corinthians about things to abound in, he talked about abounding in faith. In Galatians 2 and 20, Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live, how do you live that life, Paul? By the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. In Galatians 3 and verse 26, Paul said that we are children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. In chapter 5 and verse 22, faith is the fruit of the Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 2 and in verse 8, Paul said that we are saved through faith. And in 1 Timothy chapter 4, and in verse 12, notice the words of Paul to Timothy as he talked about faith. He said, be thou an example of the believers. And as he talked about this idea of not allowing any man to despise your youth, but to be an example, he said, be an example in faith. And so he was to pursue faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, in verse 6, it is said, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so follow after faith. But also, as he lists things to follow after, he says follow after love. That's also included in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 22. Love was a new commandment given by the Lord in John chapter 13. He said in verse 34, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. Lord, how do you want us to love one another? As I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this, that is, by the love that ye have one for another, shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. And so follow after love. Love for one another. This love is described by Paul in 1 Corinthians 13, beginning in verse 4, as he talks about charity, another word for love. It suffereth long and is kind, envieth not, vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, that is not selfish, is not easily provoked, does not fly off a handle, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. And so that's the kind of love that I need to follow after. I need to pursue love. In chapter 14 and verse 1, Paul said, follow after charity. In Galatians 5 and 22, love is the fruit of the Spirit as well. And then writing to Ephesians in chapter 4 and verse 2, as Paul talks about walking worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called, he said, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in what? In love. In chapter 5 and verse 2, he says, walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Love is called the bond of perfectness, and we're to put on that bond, Colossians 3 and in verse 14. And the areas in which Paul was to be an example of the believers included love, in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and in verse 12. Follow after love. But also he says, follow after patience. Patience is another word for long-suffering or endurance. You remember in the book of Luke in chapter 8 when the Lord told the parable of the sower, he said in verse 15 that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with what? With patience. One reason some are not fruitful is because of a lack of patience. But also in Romans chapter 2 and in verse 7, the Apostle Paul, in talking about the sinfulness of the Jews, talked about the impartiality of God, who render to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. Eternal life is in store for the patient. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and in verse 5, when Paul addressed his second letter to the church at Thessalonica, he said, the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. You remember the keynote of this book was patience. As you think about waiting, waiting for the coming of the Lord. But also as you think about patience, in Hebrews chapter 10 and in verse 36, the Hebrew writer said, you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God. And then in the book of Hebrews chapter 12 and in verse 1, as the writer talked about the race that is set before us, he said, we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us what? Lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with what? Patience. The race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Job is held up as an example of patience in the book of James. In James chapter 5 and in verse 11, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. And so the Bible has a lot to say about patience. And when Timothy was admonished to flee and follow, he said, follow after patience, pursue patience. And then another area in which he said to follow after was meekness. Some equate that with weakness. They think a person who's meek is weak. That's not the case. It's the trait of the strong. It's the idea of being humble. and lowly. In the book of Galatians in chapter 5 and verse 23, when Paul made his list of the fruit of the Spirit, he included in that list meekness. In chapter 6 and verse 1, it's the disposition with which we are to restore one who has fallen. As Paul said, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." In chapter 4 and verse 2, as he talked about the attitudes that unite us, he said, "With all lowliness and meekness." One reason sometimes there's division among brethren is because of a lack of meekness. In Colossians chapter 3 and in verse 12, the Apostle Paul, in writing the saints at Colossae, also talked about the fact that we're to put on meekness. He said, "Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." And then writing Titus, as we'll study that book, Lord willing, Wednesday night, in the book of Titus in chapter 3, the apostle told Titus to put them in mind, that is, to remind the brethren, to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle. Now listen, showing all meekness unto all men. And so follow after meekness. Follow after patience. Follow after love. Follow after faith. Follow after godliness. Follow after righteousness. These things are contrary to those things that are to be fled, like the love of money and covetousness, fornication, idolatry, youthful lust. They're of opposite nature. But then another F word that's used in connection with Timothy's success as a Christian and as a gospel preacher is the word fight. He said, "Flee, follow," and then he says in verse 12, "Fight. Fight the good fight of faith." If we're going to lay hold on eternal life, we're going to have to fight. In 2 Timothy 1 and in verse 18, instead of this word fight, he says war. War, a good warfare. This pictures Timothy as a soldier. And we are all soldiers of Christ. Notice in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Several things are learned from these words. First of all, there's hardness associated with being a soldier. He says, endure hardness. There's afflictions that will come. Endure afflictions, 2 Timothy 4 and verse 5. We want to be good soldiers. There are soldiers and then there are good soldiers. A good soldier is one who is not entangled with the affairs of this life. And there are those who are caught up in the affairs of this life. Paul talked about that in connection with being a soldier, and the Lord warned about that in connection with the thorny soil and the prayer of the sower in Luke chapter 8. He talked about how there are those who are choked by the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life and thus bring forth no fruit to perfection. We must not allow ourselves to be entangled with the affairs of this life, recognizing that we've been called out of this world to please Him who hath chosen us to be a soldier. Christ is the captain of the army, Hebrews 2 and in verse 10. He's the one that's chosen us. And so, as Paul said in Colossians chapter 3 and in verse 17, "Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus." In Ephesians chapter 6, the apostle talked about the armor that is to be put on by the soldier. He said in verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." It's important that a soldier be able to stand. And these various pieces of armor or weaponry are designed to help us to stand, to be strong. He said in verse 14, "Stand having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation," that's to protect the head, "and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." It's both an offensive and a defensive weapon. And we need to be careful as to how we use it. Praying always with all prayer and supplication with the Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. No Christian is fully equipped to fight unless he's put on the whole armor of God. Flee, follow, fight. Those are three words that the apostle directed to Timothy that would help him to be successful in his life as a Christian and as a gospel preacher. And I'd like to encourage each one of us to put these into practice in our lives. To flee, to avoid by flight those things that pose a threat to us from a spiritual standpoint. To follow after the things that Paul mentioned. And to fight with all of our might the good fight of faith. As Jude said, earnestly contend for the faith. Jude in verse 3. That we might lay hold on eternal life. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 6 and verse 23. The Lord said, be faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown of life. And these three F's are very vital to faithfulness. One reason some are not faithful is because they failed to flee. They've been caught up in those things Paul said to run away from. They failed to follow these spiritual traits that need to be alive in our lives, and they're not fighting. They've given up. And I need to fight so as to be able to say with Paul, when I come to the end of my race, I fought a good fight. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord shall give to me, and not to me only in that day, but unto all them also that love His appearing. We'd like to encourage you today to become a soldier of the Lord. Maybe you've not enlisted in the army. The Lord has invited you to be a part of His army. He said, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden. Matthew 11, 28. And He's given the terms of enlistment. They're set forth in this book. They involve hearing His word, believing on Him, repenting of our sins, confessing our faith, and being baptized into Jesus Christ. Would you like to be a part of the greatest army the world has ever known? There's a little song that talks about, I may not march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, or shoot the artillery, but I'm in the Lord's army. We'd like to invite you today to be in the Lord's army, to please Him who has chosen you to be a soldier, to march beneath the blood-stained banner of our Lord, having your allegiance to our captain, who is Christ. And as a soldier, to flee, to follow, and to fight, that we might hear those words at the end of our journey. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou in the joy of thy Lord. If we can assist you in making your life right with God, won't you come right now while we stand and sing the song.